This Sunday and next Sunday, we will talk about the Sabbath. We will talk about what it means to rest, what it means to attend to our spiritual, our emotional healing, what it means to honor God and to trust God, even when we can't track God or trace what God may be doing, to know that our God is faithful. Our God will show up. And as my mother always says, our God will show out. Amen. So with all of that in mind, and knowing that we are in our ellipsis, the Lord gave me an opportunity to see in God's word, one of God's most powerful prophets, time of ellipsis. So I want you to sit back. This is a nice little long passage in the scripture, but I want you to insert yourself. Think about what it meant to be in this space, in this time, to experience what the great prophet Elijah experienced. 1 Kings chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he may die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Elbani, as prophet in your place. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord of the Sabbath, we come here before you this day, knowing that you have consecrated this day and these your people. Come over me now. Allow that same spirit that visited your prophet in that cave, in that still small voice, to be present among us this day. That same spirit that asks, "What are you doing here?" Thank you for speaking to us. Speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. In the text this morning, we meet the great prophet Elijah. He has experienced, as I said, his ellipsis moment, a slight pause. Something has happened and something is about to occur. Elijah said it in his own words, "I have been zealous for the Lord." King Ahab, son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. He erected altars to the false god Baal and led the people of God to worship this false god with his wife. We heard of her, Queen Jezebel. After a confrontation with the king and showing the display of God's power openly, killing 450 of these false prophets, Queen Jezebel was threatening Elijah. Elijah is tired when we meet him here, and rightfully so. He shows anguish. He's exhausted, y'all. He done a whole bunch of stuff for God. And now he's sitting at the side of the road in the wilderness, waiting to die. Fear, loneliness, anxiety, thoughts of death, being threatened. Let's just take a moment to start right there. When you've done what you know you're supposed to do for God, when God has told you to do something and the outcome may or may not turn out the way you want it to, but then you're tired. We know a little something about that. I saw many of y'all at the vigils and at the protests for our brother. Many of y'all were aware that we were threatened, so much so that we had to have a police presence here at the church because some folks didn't agree with what we were doing, how we had allowed the church of God, the house of God, to become sanctuary for a child of God. I know a little something about some threats too. Y'all have heard part of my story. While I was in Swansboro, there was a KKK packet sent there. First black woman to serve in that church. And obviously I made a couple of folks upset. We got to start here when the people of God's emotional and mental state has been shaken to its core. We have to start here. We have to take account of how many of us are anxious, how many of us feel threatened by the world, how many of us are depressed, feeling lonely, and even suicidal. We don't talk about this much in the house of God, but right here in the scripture, we see this powerful man of God experiencing what many of us experience too. Some of you have heard my story. I too have had some bouts with that thing called depression. And as an adolescent, I cut myself in. Oh my God, let me tell you the messages that I got from the church. Something is wrong with you. You are demon possessed. God can't be in that or with you. But that's not what I see here in the message. That's not what we know in the narrative. When God comes to be with Elijah, he doesn't even mention what Elijah was doing there at the side of the road. Remember the story. He doesn't ask him what you're doing here until much later. When he's at the side of the road in his hour, in his moment of need, what does God do? God sends an angel who doesn't condemn Elijah, doesn't ask him why you're here, just gives Elijah what Elijah needs to get better. Some cake, some water, and a nap. That nap ministry, y'all, is for real. Some of us may need a little bit more than cake and water and a nap. Some of us may need to go to the therapist, and that's okay too. Some of y'all can call me and your sister who has been delivered from that thing and still goes to her therapist. We'll pray with you. Some of y'all gonna need community and gonna need an opportunity to sit and talk and cry. But it is available to us. Don't ever let anyone tell you that you as a child of God won't experience your nadir, your dark hour, your opportunity to sit at the side of the road and cry out to God. Oh, it happens to us. It happened to the prophet, and it will happen to you too. I remember being there in Israel in the Garden of Gethsemane, and those trees, y'all, they talk. Those trees reminded me of my big brother Jesus, who was faced with his dark hour, and how he was there crying, "Take this cup from me, but not my will, thy will be done." We are no better than our big brother Jesus. We too will experience our dark hour in our wilderness. Elijah experienced it here. The angel of the Lord came two times, because he needed two times and two naps, amen, and some cake and some water, and get up. And it is interesting because it doesn't say get up. It says you got to get up and eat this, because you're going to need it for the journey. Just because you have experienced your wilderness, maybe even because you've experienced your wilderness, you still have ministry to do. You still got some things to do for the Lord. You still have a journey to go on. The time in the presence of the Lord, looking for God to pass by. That's where we find Elijah in that cave. He was expecting God to show up, to pass by, to be real. God's felt presence. Understand that Elijah was seeking at this point. And the Mount Horeb is also Mount Sinai. We remember Mount Sinai. That's the same place that Moses would have gotten the commandments, and especially the fourth commandment, to rest. Mount Sinai is a place that has been a place that God has shown up. And so Elijah goes back there, expecting for God to show up. 40 days and 40 nights, he is waiting on God. And then when God shows up, he asks Elijah this: "What are you doing here?" It's a little weird question to ask. Obviously, God has been with Elijah even up to this point, but always notice the questions that God asks God's children. Always notice the questions that God asks you. "What are you doing here?" He asked Adam some questions, Abram, and on and on and on. "What are you doing here?" Pay attention to the questions that God asks. These are usually those areas in our life where we need to pay attention to. God is showing up when we least expect it, and expanding our understanding of who God is and how God reveals God's self to us. God doesn't always come in the wind, in the miraculous wave of the Holy Spirit that we expect, or in the earthquake, or in the all-consuming fire. Sometimes God works in and through the silence. the silence? What do we have to do to get to a place where we can hear God in the silence? We have to be still. We have to take a moment to know that we are expecting God to show up and that God will show up. The God who shows up has been working on Elijah's behalf, on our behalf. The outcome is not always sure, but we can always, always know that God will be present in the midst. Elijah, City Well, child of God, you still have more to do. Take your rest. Take your ellipsis pause, your break. Some more is coming. Some more to do. God didn't get mad at Elijah for complaining, for needing a rest. God allowed Elijah to take the rest that he needed. And then he gave him his instruction. So many of us are tired. We have been on this faith walk for a long time. We have received sustenance before. Now we feel like we're in the wilderness, we're in a drought. Our feeling God's presence is not always our reality. And now I'm telling y'all, y'all got to keep on going. As I look back over Elijah's journey, what had happened before is very important. God talked to Elijah in the previous chapter, at the beginning of chapter 18, and told Elijah to go present himself before Ahab. And then we see the whole chapter, Elijah's doing all these great things and giving instruction, and like we said, even killing prophets who are prophets of the false god. In the midst of these great miracles, what I didn't see was Elijah having a conversation with God. Elijah's conversation with God was absent. The relationship with God was absent. He was going in God's power. Make no mistake about that. But Elijah wasn't listening intimately to the voice of God, wasn't in line, in step with God's voice. A very close clergy friend of mine and I had lunch this week, and we were talking about what it means to have rest. She is on a sabbatical, and oh, I am so jealous of her. And so I did my research with her. What does it mean to be on sabbatical? What have you learned? Give me all of your wisdom in an hour. And she said she had learned a lot thus far. But one thing in particular was an opportunity to be with her daughter. And they were going somewhere and getting out of the car in the parking lot. And as they walked in the parking lot, she realized that she was actually in step with her daughter, in step with her child, walking side by side in line with her. She said, now, if I wouldn't have been on sabbatical, if I wouldn't have been in a state of ellipsis and rest, I would have been way ahead of her, telling her, come on, come on, we gotta go, rushing somewhere. But as she was in rest, she was in step with her child and also able to reflect on the fact that she was in step with her child. Being in line and in stride, perhaps we too need rest to be in step and in stride with our Father. Perhaps when we are so rushed that we've actually left the Holy Spirit behind us, we don't even know it. We're on to the next thing. Only when we have had a good opportunity for rest and for reflection can we slow down and say, I need to realign myself and know that Father God has always been running after us too. Our Sabbath, our ellipsis moment helps us to realign, to get back in stride with God. Perhaps then when we do find ourselves on the side of the road, it won't be so devastating, because you will know, truly know, God is always with me. His name is Jehovah Shammah, God. is there. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the ways that you show up, even when we least expect it, in ways that we don't expect it, but we can trust that you are there. Allow your people this week to feel your presence before them to slow down enough. Because the truth be told, you are always running after us. Let us slow down so we can be in stride and in step with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.